Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Later today, the Dáil is going to be voting, probably pretty soon to now, on the final report of the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Assisted Dying. That committee's recommendation to government was to legalise assisted dying in this country. The Irish Catholic bishops are asking TDs to reject that recommendation. Kevin Doran is Bishop of Elphin. He's chairman of the Bishop's Council for Life as well. Bishop Doran, you're very welcome to the show and thank you for speaking to us. Why this ask of TDs to reject the recommendation?
Well, I suppose as a priest, I'm very well aware of the impact that critical or terminal illness has on both the people who are sick and on their family and friends. And therefore, I'm very conscious that people who are in serious illness, perhaps living with terminal illness, can feel themselves very vulnerable and sometimes may even say things like, oh, I wish I were dead. But I've never actually come across anyone who wanted to die. What they want is not to have to go on living with physical or emotional pain. And it seems to me that the challenge for us as a society is not to abandon people, but rather to walk with them in their suffering and to ease their pain. In other words, not to simply say, fine, if you want to end your life, go ahead. We need to offer them much more. And I think that happens through the care of family and friends who stay close, and also through palliative care, which is holistic and which helps to ease pain, both physical and emotional. And leaves people feeling valued.
Can you envision a system where you could offer both? You can say, here is, you know, the option of choosing some version of assisted dying. But if you do not want to do that, we will, as you put it, we will walk with you through your pain. We will offer everything we can in terms of palliative care. We will make you as comfortable as possible, and the choice is yours.
Well, theoretically, of course, you could do that. But the difficulty with that is that once you legislate for assisted suicide, what happens is that people who are already vulnerable feel under pressure to, do the decent thing and agree to it. Quite often we find that legislation which begins by allowing something becomes almost an obligation to make it happen. And we see that happening particularly, obviously, with the way in which healthcare professionals are put under pressure. This has happened with the abortion legislation, where there's increasing pressure on healthcare professionals to participate. And in other jurisdictions where assisted suicide has happened, this has also been the case where those who are charged with the responsibility of caring for life until it ends naturally are put under pressure to end it.
What jurisdictions in particular would you and your colleagues be worried about? I guess Switzerland is the one that everyone is probably most well aware of.
Yeah, people talk about Switzerland because obviously there's a clinic there that has appeared in media as advertising assisted suicide. But Belgium and the Netherlands, Canada and the state of Oregon in the United States are all examples of jurisdictions where assisted suicide has been legalized. And those places started off by proposing very limited and controlled situations in which all sorts of protections would be offered and everything would be safe and limited and so on. But very quickly, those protections, which are similar to the protections proposed in the Oireachtas report, they disappear. And one of the things that has happened in places like Belgium and the Netherlands, for instance, is that increasingly people with intellectual disabilities and young people on the autistic spectrum have ended up being candidates for assisted suicide.
Despite that, I guess the jurisdiction that is most well known is Switzerland, as we said. And there, I'm not quite sure if that applies. It's been around since the 1940s. It's actually remarkable that in the middle of the Second World War, this is what they were legislating for in Switzerland. But that's kind of a side point. As far as I know, it's overwhelmingly kind of people above a certain age with an identifiable terminal illness who are using the service, if we'll call it that, in Switzerland. There's notable cases, but there's no evidence really of kind of widespread killing of vulnerable people or people with a disability.
I don't know. You see, the number of people that are involved in this is amazing. I spoke to a doctor recently who described to me a conversation he had with a friend of his who was deeply distressed because his elderly mother had chosen to end her life and had chosen to do it as a sort of gift to him on his birthday, and had involved her granddaughter, who is a newly qualified doctor, in actually committing the act of assisted suicide. So that in a sense, you had three generations of people who were affected by this. You had the elderly person who felt the need to do something good by ending her life. You had the next generation, the son who had to bear the pain of thinking that his mother had done this for him. And then you had the granddaughter who was beginning her life as a medical professional by being involved in the assisted suicide of her grandmother. You know, I mean, it affects far more people than simply those who die.
We've spoken to, I guess, people with views on all sides of this argument on the show as the committee debated this, you know, other religious leaders as well. And last week, while it was kind of being discussed and debated in the Shannon, we had a woman on, Audrey Farrelly is her name. Now, she campaigned for assisted dying legislation. Because of her own situation, she witnessed her father dying kind of in the throes of chronic pain, and she herself then suffers from chronic pain. And she was talking about if ever reaching a point where that pain was intolerable, wanting the option. We have a little clip of her. We'll just take a quick listen to remind people.
I don't think the quality of life I have at the moment is very good. It's something I've had to accept. And it's something I've had to get my mind around because it's very limited. So I don't know is the answer really. I don't know how long I'll be able to endure the pain should it get outside of my control. I just feel that nobody should be denied a dignified death, especially if, number one, death is imminent, or the suffering is intolerable. And I think that's unique. I don't think this should be something that has to be chosen by every citizen in Ireland. I think it's something that should be there to choose if you want to choose it. It's not going to be pushed. If the agenda is not going to be pushed on you, but the choice should be there.
That was Audrey Farrelly who spoke to us last week. And listen, I should acknowledge again, I mean, right at the outset of our conversation today, you know, you spoke about the empathy and sympathy you'd have for people in Audrey's situation, but she's quite clear of the options she would like to take. So what would you say to her listening now?
Well, I suppose listening carefully to her there, one of the things she's talking about is how now, in this present moment, she finds it hard to imagine how at a particular point in the future she would be able to cope with you know, the pain or the experience that she would have of suffering. And I suppose one of the interesting things about our humanity is that people often are surprised by their resilience, and people around those who are sick are often surprised. I have been amazed at times by the resilience of people who are seriously ill. And in my own experience of caring for the sick, in the final weeks of terminal illness, many people can actually be helped to experience human and spiritual growth. It can be a time when old hurts are healed and people find inner peace. And when people come to a better understanding of themselves and indeed of their family members and friends. So I think the difficulty is once you offer assisted suicide in the name of autonomy, all of that ends, you know, because once the person dies, all autonomy disappears. And yet there's a huge freedom for people who are seriously ill and who find themselves surrounded by the love and care of family and friends. And so I think we have to be kind of conscious of that. The other thing, of course, is that the autonomy of those who choose and who might be permitted to choose assisted suicide does affect everybody, in the sense that the law which is introduced in that situation affects the common good of society, not just the individual concerned.
One thing we haven't talked about is, and you talked about spiritual growth there, is yeah, religion. And kind of remarkably, 69% of people still tick the Roman Catholic box in the census, or they did in the most recent census. What would TDs accepting the recommendation mean in the context of a country that is nominally still majority Catholic?
Well, I think it is fair to say that a lot of people's position on assisted suicide, as on other issues, are determined to some extent by their religious belief. But this is not really a religious matter. It's about the common good. It's about respect for human life, which is not uniquely a religious thing. It is certainly true that it is part of our Catholic faith that those who are seriously ill are held in the embrace of a loving God. But I don't think our religious belief is the only question here.
Kevin Doran is the Bishop of Elphin. He's chairman of the Bishop's Council for Life. Bishop Doran, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.